Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm. A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengle, your host. It's the 23rd of December 2025, a Tuesday. Officials have revoked a former Helena doctor's medical license following allegations that he mistreated and harmed patients. A panel of the Montana Board of Medical Examiners unanimously agreed that Dr. Thomas Weiner violated rules of professional conduct and should be permanently prohibited from practicing in Montana. St. Peter's Health fired Weiner in 2020 after he had been the hospital's sole oncologist for decades. The hospital said Weiner mistreated patients, improperly prescribed narcotics, and engaged in fraudulent billing. A 2024 ProPublica investigation detailed several patient deaths and mistreatments under Weiner's care. The outlet and Montana Free Press later reported that the state's medical board received evidence of Weiner's misconduct in 2021 and renewed his license twice afterward. Weiner has denied all wrongdoing, but agreed to surrender his license upon the board's vote to revoke it. A woman nearly died from a heart attack in a Missoula courtroom recently. As Edward O'Brien reports, the incident stresses the importance of learning cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Nora Ockler was in the right place at the right time when she suffered a major heart attack in September. Ockler was serving as an alternate juror during a trial in Missoula County District Court. Courtroom video shows the seated 79-year-old Ockler clearly in distress.
I remember having pain in my neck, very nauseous, and my chest felt like I had something in there that wouldn't let me breathe.
Her head fell backwards as she lost consciousness. Her heart had stopped, and she was no longer breathing. Courtroom officials sprang into action. Missoula Police Detective Evan Smith immediately started chest compressions. He says a defense investigator suggested Smith slightly reposition his hands.
He was there. He said, Ethan, move your hand up just a little bit on her chest. And the next five compressions that I did, we got a gasp. And I said, oh, she's back.
According to Smith, first responders frequently arrive to medical calls where people already there have no idea what to do.
The sad part is a lot of people in our community don't take the time to get a basic CPR or first aid certification, and it's actually pretty easy to do.
There are many ways to get CPR certified, including classes by the American Heart Association or the American Red Cross. Local emergency services providers sometimes offer courses as well. Missoula's Nora Ockler hopes her story will inspire others to learn CPR.
It's well worth it because he saved my life and maybe I can save somebody else's.
Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
The Missoula City Council is weeks away from making a final decision on a massive overhaul of the city's zoning code. That's a set of rules that tells property owners what they can build on their land. Missoula's new draft rules would make it easier to build multiple types of housing on a single property, like duplexes, apartments, and accessory dwelling units. Officials say the goal is to add new housing to existing parts of the city rather than growing outward. There are public meetings on the rules scheduled for January 7th, 12th, and 14th. A final vote is set for January 26th. Residents can find information on the proposed zoning code and leave their comments by heading to engagemissoula.com and clicking on the Our Missoula tab. A 2023 state law prompted the cities in Montana to begin reviewing their property rules. A state commission studying how Montana pays for public schools may soon recommend some big changes. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy has more.
The School Funding Interim Commission is mulling over a substantial overhaul of public education in Montana, and that has Commission member Representative Eric Matthews of Bozeman very excited.
If we were able to take those recommendations, all of them, and run with them, I think our system of education would be much, much better off.
The commission has spent the last 5 months studying high-performing schools across the world. Their recommendations aren't final yet, but a draft list includes expanding the state's offerings for pre-K students, providing more professional development opportunities for teachers, boosting educator pay, and investing in career education at the middle school level. Matthews says the draft recommendations are ambitious and would require a bigger investment from the state.
The question is going to come down to whether there's the will on the part of the legislature to add any money at all.
Commission member Matt Schreiber, a fund manager, is particularly excited about the proposed pre-K expansion, but he's skeptical the state would be able to implement all the recommendations.
Everyone lives in sort of a budget-constrained world, no matter who you are. So there's a danger of getting too aspirational without being realistic about, you know, the financial input part to it, too.
The commission will finalize its policy recommendations in January before turning its focus to how to pay for it all. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks is acknowledging the help of hunters and the general public across Montana for help during the past season monitoring of chronic waste disease, or CWD. Monitoring is a critical tool in preventing the large-scale population impacts that CWD can have on deer, elk, and moose. By providing samples, hunters are giving biologists the data needed to track where the disease is moving and how prevalent it is in an area. FWP says that proactive management based on hunter-submitted data is the only way to help ensure Montana's big game populations remain resilient for future generations. This year, there were several record-breaking milestones. For the 2025 season, July to the present, FWP has processed 8,372 samples statewide. To date, 428 samples have returned positive or suspect results across the state. Of those, 247 were white-tailed deer, 178 were mule deer, and 3 were elk. While the general season has ended, FWP continues to accept samples and process final submissions. When it comes to conservation in Montana, you may not think of hunters and anglers as leading the charge, but some are trying to change that. Laura Hatch of Big Sky Connections has more.
When it comes to conservation in Montana, you may not think of hunters and anglers as leading the charge, but some are trying to change that. Eric Cluess loves to hunt and fish near his home in Helena. He also works for Defenders of Wildlife, a group devoted to protecting wild animals in their habitat. He says it's frustrating when people assume hunters and anglers don't care about the environment.
There's this misconception that hunting and angling is about getting out there and killing or disrespecting wildlife. It's not what it is at all. If you think about who humans are just as a species, we are hunters and anglers, and it wasn't that long ago that that's how we survived.
Cluess says both activities are great ways to immerse yourself in nature and appreciate the plants, animals, geography, weather patterns, and landscape, all things that make a wild place special and unique. He argues there is a lot that unites anglers, hunters, and other outdoor enthusiasts, and they need to work together to protect open spaces near them. Cluess believes hunters and anglers started what is considered the modern conservation movement back in the late 1800s, when U.S. westward expansion decimated wild game.
They were going out in the landscape and realizing we kind of messed up. We had lost a lot of the wildlife that made this country and this landscape really special, and they started advocating for protections to restore that wildlife.
Cluess feels many of those protections are now threatened by the Trump administration. He cites the president's attempts to sell off public lands and the Fix Our Forests Act, a pending bipartisan bill intended to fight wildfires. It's passed the U.S. House and is waiting for a Senate vote. The legislation would allow prescribed burning and forest thinning in high wildfire risk areas. However, critics say it would remove environmental reviews and allow logging in national forests. Cluess opposes it and says all outdoor lovers need to speak up against efforts like these.
If we let the politics of the times divide us, then there's no way we can actually unite our voices to stand up for the things that we care about and the things that are the kind of the base level that provides an avenue for us to enjoy the things that we enjoy.
I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
About a quarter of adults in Wyoming provide unpaid care to elderly, family, or friends, says a new study from AARP. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports.
More than 100,000 Wyomingites support loved ones to help them stay in their homes as they get older, going grocery shopping, helping with medication, driving to doctor's appointments. And all that time adds up.
Those caregivers provide roughly $54 million worth of unpaid care every year.
That's Sam Shumway, the state director for AARP Wyoming. He says without those caregivers, many more people would need professional home health care or end up in nursing homes.
In Wyoming and in other states, Medicaid often pays for nursing home stays, and it's a significant amount of money.
On a national level, AARP is advocating for a caregiver tax credit to help offset what caregivers often pay out of pocket to support loved ones. Shumway says he'll also be watching the upcoming state budget session for any conversations about potential cuts to senior centers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
It's the largest girl-led entrepreneurial program in the world, and it will commence in January, YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
For more than a century, the Girl Scout Cookie Program has been providing girls with educational activities combined with money-earning opportunities packaged in a box of cookies. Brianna Rickman with Montana Wyoming Girl Scout says the Cookie Program helps girls develop skills like goal setting, money management, and business ethics. And they get to decide how to spend their cookie proceeds.
So a lot of girls will maybe save their money to go on a trip, or some girls might decide that they want to give back to their community and do a community service project, or maybe donate items to an animal shelter. Really the sky's the limit. And that's what's great about Girl Scouts is it's very girl-led.
Friday, January 30th, Girl Scouts across Montana will start going door-to-door taking orders for 9 cookie flavors, from the iconic Thin Mints and Trefoils to the newest flavor, Explore Mores.
It's a Rocky Road-inspired ice cream and sandwich cookie. So it's filled with chocolate and a marshmallowy toasted almond-flavored cream.
A cookie flavor that was retired is the Toastier, which Rickman describes as a French toast-inspired cookie.
We're really sad to see that go, but we're really excited for the Explore Mores, and I think our customers are going to love them.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.